Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to continue on with the Christmas story. Last week I mentioned that we were talking about the birth of Christ this week, and for some reason I was thinking this was the Sunday before Christmas, but we got another one. So we're going to talk about Joseph and Mary today, and then talk about the birth of Christ next week. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, and then we're going to drop back to Matthew chapter 1 for to hear about Joseph. This is about Mary first, and then we're going to go back, as I said, to Matthew chapter 1 and look at a couple of things about Joseph. Praise God. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now remember last week, we talked about the birth of John the Baptist and a bit about his ministry, and covered some more of it on Wednesday night in our Bible study. But last week we talked about John the Baptist and leading up to the birth of John the Baptist, his father, the vision that he saw in the temple and different things, and how he became dumb, couldn't speak until the baby was born. And when his wife was 6 months pregnant, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, that's when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Okay, so there was 3 months left before she would have her baby, before Elizabeth would have her baby, and that's when Mary went down with her, and they figured that Mary stayed with her until the baby was born, and Mary went back to Nazareth again. So anyway, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, that's the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, is also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. We thank you for your faithfulness. And now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God and look at things concerning Mary and Joseph, we pray, Lord, that our minds would be alert, Lord, and we would understand what we're reading and what we're seeing. And, Father, we would see some things that we can put into practice in our own lives. Guide us and direct us. We thank you for this wonderful time of year. May your blessing be with each one of us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of information about Mary or Joseph, about their background or where they're, where they're from and all these different things, where we know where they're from, but the family backgrounds and all these different things. There are some genealogies there, but don't give a whole lot of history. And so what we have mostly about Mary right here in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we have mostly about Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. So we look at Matthew chapter 1 in a few moments. But anyway, Mary, they tell us, was about 16, 17 years old when the angel came to her with this visitation. And the thing about Mary, and don't misunderstand what I'm going to say now, but when it comes to Mary, it seems like either the church has gone to one extreme or to the other. One extreme, people almost worship her, and the other extreme, we're almost afraid to talk about her. And I think somewhere in the middle we should meet and realize that this is a lady that deserves honor and respect for what was accomplished in and through her. And so we're going to look at a couple things here this morning. And the Bible tells us that she was a chosen one, that God had chosen for to bring his son into the world, to produce a body for his son, so that Jesus could come and live here on the earth. The Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews, tells us back again in the book of Psalms, "A body thou hast prepared for me." And that body was prepared in the womb of Mary. And we can go in and Last year, I think it was, we went into a lot of about the seed of the Word of God being implanted in the womb, and the seed grew, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We won't get into that part of it this morning, but anyway, we've gone down that road before. Now, so here we have Mary, and as I said, we're either to one extreme or the other. There's people that venerate her so much that she's almost God, you know, or she's sinless, and things like what the Bible doesn't say. And then on the other hand, you got people that say, well, you know, we're almost afraid to even put up a picture of a baby and the mother and the child, afraid somebody to get the wrong idea there. No, we need to somehow come together in the middle and realize that Mary is a lady that is God said she's highly favored. And, you know, she's blessed among women. And so we're going to look at a couple of thoughts here this morning. And so anyway, the angel Gabriel, we just read there, the angel Gabriel came to her and said to her, he said, "Hail Mary," he said, "you are highly favored of God, and you are blessed among women." Now, based upon very little evidence, very little information, when the angel said to her, "You're going to have a child, and it's going to be called the Son of God," Mary, she just asked one simple question, which only any of us would ask. It wasn't a question of unbelief as Zacharias was. Remember last week we talked about Zacharias? He asked an unbelief because the angel said to him, he said, "Because you did not believe." So that's the reason there, in unbelief. He said, "Because you did not believe," he said, "you'll be dumb until the baby is born." Now, Mary asked a question, not because she didn't believe. She's just trying to figure this out. How can I have a baby and I've never had sexual relationship with a man? I mean, that's just common sense. And so then the angel explained to her, no, what's going to be placed within your womb is going to come from the Holy Spirit. God himself is going to place something within your womb by a miracle, and you will give birth to a child. So that's the difference between the question that Mary asked and the question that Zacharias asked. He asked in unbelief. Mary asked just a common everyday question. How can this happen? How can I have a baby if I've never known a man? You know, now, so Mary, on that very little bit of information, Mary said, well, she said, "I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me, even as you said." And when Mary said that, she mixed faith with the Word of God. The Bible tells us if we mix faith with God's Word over in Hebrews, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel, as they were going to the wilderness, the Word of God was useless to them. It made none effect to them. It didn't help them at all. Why? Not because God's Word was defective, but they did not mix faith with it. You see, whatever you receive from God, and this is why we say so many times, if you're believing God for a healing or something, find some scriptures in here that talk about healing. If you're believing God for salvation for your loved ones, find scriptures in here that promise salvation for your loved ones. If you're believing God for a financial breakthrough, find scriptures in here how God wants to bless you and prosper you. And as you take those, the seed of God's Word, and mix faith with it, then it will produce something. That's what Mary did. The angel spoke the Word of God, and she said, "Be it unto me as you said." As that word said, "Be it unto me." She mixed faith with it, and that word became a seed within her womb and began to grow and produced the baby Jesus. Now, the body for Jesus to live in. We know Jesus existed from all eternity, but here on the earth, he needed a body to live in. If you went to the moon, you need a space suit to live in. You live here on the earth, you need an earth suit to live in. Once the earth suit gives out, you're gone. You understand that? It's just common sense. Once the earth suit gives out and you die, you know, we say you die, but when the earth suit gives up, you know, can't go on anymore, your spirit leaves again and goes back to God. Now, so anyway, Mary saw this or heard this from the angel, and she said, "Be it unto me even as you said." But notice what it said, and Steve mentioned this to me last week. Steve over there in the corner, because we got so many Steves here. That fellow over there. And so Steve mentioned to me this week, or last week when we talked, about the word highly favored. And he mentioned he heard somebody speak about it one time, and so I looked it up. He asked me to look it up, so I looked it up, and sure enough, it was two times in Scripture. It's mentioned here, the word is translated highly flavored. There you go. Highly favored. Now, it looks like in English, if we try to pronounce it in English, it looks like charitoho. But I'm not even going to try to say it as the Hebrew word. Or the Greek word. If you look on, there's a program on the computer called Blue Letter Bible, and you can go in there and you can get the pronunciation. And you know how some of these words are at the beginning? That's what you got to do. It's harteo. That's how they pronounce it. But anyway, but I'm not a Greek person, so you know, it's all Greek to me. But anyway, this is what the word means, and it means to be highly favored. And this is what it means. If you're ever looking up in a Greek concordance or the Strong concordance, is word number 5487. It means to make graceful, to be charming, to be lovely, to be agreeable, to cover with grace, to compass with favor, to honor with blessings. This is what the angel is saying to Mary. He said, Mary, you are honored with blessings. You're covered with God's favor. And so this is what he's saying right here. And the other place where it's mentioned is over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, where the Bible says that we are accepted in the beloved. That word accepted and highly favored are the same thing. So you're highly favored. Just as Mary is highly favored, you are highly favored if you're in Christ. That's a good thing to know. You know, and when you understand that the favor that God has bestowed upon Mary, he used the same word talking about the favor that he's bestowed upon us. We are highly favored in the beloved, which is Jesus. Okay, now, so Mary was highly favored by God, and she was blessed, the Bible says, above women, among women. And matter of fact, when Mary left, as I said, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant by this time. Mary left, the Bible says, with haste and went down to visit her cousin or relative, Elizabeth. And when she went there, the Bible says, as she walked in, now, as I said, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, so the baby was already forming. John the Baptist was already forming in her womb. And the Bible says, when Mary walked in, John the Baptist leaped, whatever the right word is, in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth turned around and said to Mary, she says, you're blessed among women. She said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She said, because as soon as I heard your voice, she said, the babe leapt within my womb. John the Baptist, the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit from the womb. Now, so here we have this picture taking place. And so the angel said to Mary, you're blessed among women. Elizabeth said to her, you are blessed among women. And Mary, what they call Mary's song, you know, theologians refer to it. There's Zacharias' song, there's Mary's song, there's Elizabeth's song, all in this passage right here. And Mary gave what they call a magnificat. Mary started to speak, and she said, I am blessed among women, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. So she was a blessed lady. That's why I say sometimes, you know, we sort of overlook it as evangelicals or as Protestants. We sort of overlook it because we're afraid of going to the extreme in the other area. But we need to understand that Mary is a lady that needs to be respected and honored for what God accomplished through her and her faithfulness. And the thing about it, as I said, based on very little evidence, just that the angel said to her, there was no grumbling, complaining, and arguing. Said, oh, no, I'm not going to give up my life for that. I'm not going to, you know. She just said, as you said, I'll accept it. And she, you know, even not understanding all the implications, she received what the angel said to her. Now, so notice the Bible says she was blessed. And sometimes our thought of blessing, and sometimes what you read in the Word, seems like you just don't match up. She was highly favored and blessed among women. What does it feel like to be blessed? Sometimes, you know, the scriptures, the word blessed or blessed, sometimes is translated happy in some of the newer translations. And no doubt Mary was happy, but there's also times, because the angel said to her, a sword will pierce your own heart. Or Simeon, I think, was said to her, a sword will pierce your own heart. Sometimes being blessed is not all a bed of roses. You know, and here it says, you're blessed among women. What does blessing look like? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's always like this, but I'm just saying we got to look at this side of the picture as well. Mary here, she was a young lady, 15, 16, 17 years old. Let's say she's 16 years old. All of a sudden, she's pregnant, everybody's looking at her. And back in that day, I mean, it's bad enough in this day and age. But back in that day, I mean, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 22, their law said that if a woman is found to be with child and she's not married, take her out and kill her, stone her. So, it's a scary thing to be pregnant without being married. I mean, today, you know, in some cultures, you know, it's still treated in much the same way. In our culture, you know, there's sometimes that stigma is attached to, you know, if somebody's got a baby outside of wedlock. But here's Mary in that kind of a situation, in that kind of a culture. And Mary, you know, the angel said to her, "You're blessed." Elizabeth said, "You're blessed." She prophesied herself that she's blessed among all women. But what is it like to be blessed? Did she feel blessed when everybody started making fun at her and started talking behind her back, and she would walk down the street and somebody would hide behind the windows and, you know, and close the curtains or whatever because Mary is coming down the street? Did that make her feel all that blessed? Sometimes blessings are not all that happy sometimes. You know, now don't misunderstand. The outcome is great, but going through it sometimes is a bit difficult. I mean, did she feel blessed when she had to get on the donkey or walk, whichever way? The Bible doesn't say she's on a donkey, but we usually got pictures of her going down to, you know, Joseph leading the donkey and stuff like that. But the Bible doesn't tell us that happened. She may have walked, for all we know. I do know she never drove a car. I can be sure on that one. But she went down, you know, this 70 miles or so traveling back in those days. Did she feel blessed then? With a, you know, because by now she was 8 months pregnant. You know, 9 months pregnant probably. Did she feel blessed when all that was going on? Did she feel blessed when later on in life, all of a sudden her heart drops and she remembers that she left a young fellow back in Jerusalem when he's 12 years old, and she's gone 3 days down the road and couldn't find him? Did she feel blessed when, you know, she saw the soldiers take her son and start to beat him? Did she feel blessed when she was there by the cross and see him drive the nails in his hands and see what was going on, and everybody, all the entire crowd calling out to crucify him? And when he's raised up on the cross, did she feel blessed then? What does blessings look like? Sometimes we look at things like, so if that's blessings, I think I'll pass on them, you know. And because being blessed sometimes is having to do things that you're not ready to, in the natural, to do. You know, Mary had to give up her son. And a lot of us say, well, man, I found it hard enough to let her youngster go to school on the first day. She had to give up her son to Calvary. You know, so what is it like to feel blessed? This is why I say Mary, a lot of times we just look over, even though she's just a young lady, but the maturity that she had and the understanding that she had as a young teenage girl, when she said yes, I honestly don't know if she understood, and I'm sure she didn't understand everything that yes implied, you know, through life. I don't know if she understood what would take place, what curtailed in everything when she said yes to the angel. I don't know if she really understood everything that was going to come down the road. But it's because of her faithfulness, because of her yes that she said to the angel, or to God, that we could have salvation today. You know, so sometimes you look at this and say, you know, those blessings, you know, what does blessing look like? So Mary, she's blessed among women. She's highly favored. And because she said yes to God, the Bible tells us, and as I already mentioned, that the word of God was implanted within her womb. Now there's debate going on, and I honestly don't know the answer, and nobody else does anyway. So there's debate going on. It says, well, now the word of God was a seed. The Bible tells us over and over that the word of God is a seed. Remember in Mark chapter 4, the sower went forth to sow the word, and the word was a seed. I mean, when God spoke the worlds into existence, he spoke words. They were seeds. We talked about this a few weeks ago about how we, you know, be careful what you're saying, because what you're saying, these are seeds. And where you plant them, they'll grow. This is why it's so important for us not to be critical of people and say words that we shouldn't be saying, because what we say with our words come to pass. Jesus said that you will have whatsoever you say. You know, so this word that was spoken by the angel, Mary received it in her womb, and as I said, there's a lot of debate going on whether that word fertilized a literal egg within Mary's womb, or if God provided all of it. We don't know. But we do know that he's called the Son of Man. And everything came from God. It couldn't have been the Son of Man. So there's a debate both ways. People, you know, and there's good arguments on both sides. Whether God implanted, you know, a fertilized seed within her womb, you know, type of thing, or egg within her womb, or if it was her own egg that produced the body for Jesus to live in, because the scripture says a body that was prepared for me. But whatever the case might be, it was through Mary that Jesus was able to come into Adam's race. And he had to come in without any of the sin of Adam. And in order for him to do that, he couldn't have Adam's blood. And you can do a study on this yourself, but in the womb, the baby's blood is in the baby itself. The mother's blood and the baby's blood, there's no mingling whatsoever. They don't even come in contact with each other. The blood from the mother produces nutrients, and there's something, I mean, God's designed to... You see, God knew what he's doing way back in the Garden of Eden when he created man, because he knew that somewhere down in the future he's going to put his son into the world. And he had to get his son in without Adam's blood. And that's how the baby Jesus was placed within her womb. Took none of Mary's blood, because that would have been tainted. That was from Adam's race. But within within Mary's body, the seed grew, and from that time on, it was just a natural pregnancy, just a natural birth. I mean, we know it was a miraculous conception regards to the baby being, you know, placed within the womb. But from that time on, she went through a natural childbirth like anyone else, 9 months pregnant, and she gave birth to Jesus. You know, so when we look at Mary, you know, and as believers today, what can we draw from Mary? I believe one of the things we can draw from Mary, and basically saying we're going to draw from Joseph in a few moments too, is that sometimes when you don't understand all the questions, when you don't have all the answers, when you don't understand all the implications, what's going on in life, when everything seems to be all twisted around and upside down, and there's no purpose and no sense in anything, and nothing makes sense, you're still going to keep your eyes upon God. Because Mary, even though she didn't understand everything that this entailed regards to having the Son of God and giving birth to him, I mean, she said yes. She never said yes because she thought, well, if I get God's blessings, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that's wrong. But that's not. I don't believe this is what Mary is thinking. You see, once you receive the blessing of God, it could take you down a road sometimes that you weren't in the natural thinking about. And Mary, as we look at Mary, I believe that we can draw from her kind of faith, that when things don't work out the way that we thought they were going to work out. Because, you know, you stop and think about it. I mean, she's a young girl. She's engaged. Now, their engagement was a little different in our culture today. We could engage. You can get engaged one day and married the next day if you want to. You know, they would have the engagement, and their engagement was legal. It was a ceremony that was done. It's not like now, you know, when me and Pat, we're Pat, she's not here. So I can tell all kinds of lies. When we got engaged, it was on Christmas Eve. I mean, you know, we planned a long time ahead, and we went to a jewelry store and got the ring and different things, and Christmas Eve, and we were at home, and we just had a dinner together. Matter of fact, my mother was with us. And but after that, we just went for a drive in the car, and I took the ring out and put it on her finger and said, "Will you marry me?" And that was our engagement. Now, that's a lot easier than what they used to do back in that day. They would have witnesses come in. The families would gather a meeting together, and they would come in, and it was a legal contract to be engaged, betrothed, espoused, whichever way you know, different words are used there. And that lasted anywhere from 10 months to a year. And in that 10-month period, or the year period, whatever was up leading up to the wedding itself, you weren't allowed to have any sexual relations. You weren't allowed to, if you decided to break off the engagement. I mean, today we just take the ring and throw it back and say, forget that. Gone on to the next one, you know. But in that day, you had to call another meeting back in. You had to get the legal authorities back in. They had to break that, just like having a divorce today. Just like a divorce. So if there was some unfaithfulness found, or if something went wrong, you broke that divorce, broke that engagement with a divorce. And that was how things were set up. And so Mary had all these dreams, no doubt she's marrying, you know, her sweetheart, high school sweetheart probably. And she was all excited about this, and all of a sudden the angel shows up and says, "You're going to have a baby." "How can I have a baby? We haven't even had sex, so I can have a baby." And he said, "God, by the Holy Spirit, is going to plant within your womb the seed. And you're going to have a child called..." And I'm sure, you know, if it happened today, we say, "What's Joseph going to think about that? How am I going to explain this one? You know, how is this all going to fit together? And what, you know, I mean, am I tied down now looking after God's son? What about my own children?" You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that could have went through her mind, not knowing what was in the future. But she had enough faith that says, "Listen, whatever God says, I'll agree to it." And if we could only get that common sense and do the very same thing, whatever God says is good with me. And sometimes you might be blessed and don't even feel like it. I'm sure there's times that Mary certainly didn't feel like blessed. Sometimes we think we're going through struggles and we're battles and everything else, and we say, "Man, where's the blessing?" I'm sure there's times Mary thought about that. The Bible says she pondered these things in her heart. She thought these things over. Where's the blessings? I mean, God, you gave me this child. Look what's happened to him. There's times we don't understand. But God sees the bigger picture. And God's got a way of taking all these things that we don't understand and making it into something wonderful. So we got to be like Mary and say, "Lord, even though I don't understand it, I know you do. And you've got a plan, the purpose." So Mary, I believe we ought to honor her for that very reason. You know, one other thought there about Mary. When Mary had Jesus within her womb, she had Jesus within her, so to speak. In one picture, it's a picture of being born again. Because as Jesus was birthed within Mary's womb, when we accept him as our Savior, he comes, the Bible says, to live within us. St. Gregory in the 4th century, he said the miracle that happened to Mary in her body happens in our souls when we receive Christ as our Savior. The very same miracle. God comes to dwell within us. So we, as I said, there's lots of things that we could parallel there. But we'll leave that where it is right now. And let's move on to Joseph. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. That was Luke chapter 1 talking about Mary. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1 talking about Joseph. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, in other words, before they were married, before they had a sexual relationship, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, now notice this, remember what I said? It was a very binding contract. When the engagement was made, you were considered a husband and wife. Even though you weren't allowed to come together for relationship, it was a contract that was made, that was just their culture. It was a contract that was made that you are now husband and wife. And in order to separate that, and as I said, you just couldn't throw away the ring and go on, you had to have a divorce. You had to, you know, go through the proper channels. Now, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, or in other words, never had a relationship with her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, again, we don't have a whole lot of information about Joseph. That's the most information in the scripture right there that we have on Joseph, is that passage right there. Okay, there's all kinds of speculations, and Christmas pageants have built it up to mean, you know, say other things, but this is all we have about Joseph, is right there. Okay, now, so matter of fact, you know, Joseph never ever mentioned a word in scripture. Is there's no record of him saying anything. He's probably a smart man. I don't know. But there's no record of him saying anything in scripture. There's lots of speculation about his age. There's some that believe, and I mean, this is, as far as I'm concerned, is crazy. There's some that believe that he died when he was 110 years old, but he married Mary when he was 90. Not exactly the high school sweetheart, is it? So, I mean, there's tradition, because here's the thing. Anything, you change one doctrine in Scripture, you change one thing in Scripture to try to say something, you got to change some other things, and eventually you get off so far off track. Listen, just stay with God's Word. Just stay with God's Word. You know. Anyway, most theologians believe that Joseph was probably in his early 20s. Mary was about 16, Joseph was probably 20, 21 years old. Okay, so this is what most people believe. Again, as I said, we don't have a whole lot of information on him, just what we have right here. It's commonly believed that Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And Joseph, most theologians believe that he died before that. Because remember when Jesus hung on the cross, Joseph, we never heard talk of Joseph. Last time we hear talk of Joseph, when Jesus was 12 years old, when he forgot him and left him in the temple. They went back, and even then he's not mentioned by name, he's just said his father. You know, and so Joseph... somewhere along the line went out of the picture, because everything that was going on around the cross, we hear talking Mary and different things, but Joseph is not mentioned anymore. So most theologians believe that he probably passed away from some reason, sickness or whatever, accident or something. He passed away before Jesus began his public ministry. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said to John, he said, "This is your mother, this is your son." He gave the care of Mary to John. If Joseph was still alive, he wouldn't have had to do that, you know. So anyway, whatever the case might be, we don't know. And again, that's only speculation as well, but you know, it's probably logical to think that way. Matthew gives us most of the information about Joseph, as we already said. The Bible tells us that Joseph was a carpenter. Now the word that's used here is tecton. Okay, he was a tecton, and it's the same word where we get the architect. The same word that's used, you know, we use it in English, is the root word of that. But he was a builder. Better translation would be he's a builder. He could have been a mason. He could have been anything. But most generally, people say he was a carpenter. We don't know. I was reading something the week, and they said Herod rebuilt some of the cities that were up around Nazareth. And a lot of people from Nazareth would work in that area. Same as we would leave here to go to Kingston, go to somewhere else to work. They would leave Nazareth, and it was about an hour walk. They would walk in there in the morning, work, and come back again at night. They said maybe Joseph and Jesus were employed doing that. We don't know. These are only speculations. But we do know that Joseph lived in Nazareth at the time. But we also know that he was of the house and lineage of David. Now what that means, God made a promise to David about 1,000 years before this. God made a promise to David that on his throne, on King David's throne, there would be someone that would rise up that would rule Israel forever. And so every person in David's lineage since then was looking for that child to come along. Mary belonged to that same lineage. Joseph belonged to the same lineage. And if you look at the genealogies there, you look at one in Matthew chapter 3, you get the genealogy, and in Luke chapter 1 you get the genealogy, tying them all back to David, and we're now back to Adam. Now, so here this is about all the information we got of Joseph. Joseph, as I said, lived in Nazareth. We don't know how he got there, because he's from Bethlehem originally, his family was. We don't know how he got there. Maybe his father and him moved up for work, or maybe he moved up for work when he was a young man. We don't know. But anyway, Joseph lived in Nazareth, but he is from Bethlehem. And the Bible tells us, or history tells us, that Bethlehem at this particular time was just a very small village. It had about 500 people to probably 1,000 people. Just a small village. It was in Bethlehem, if you go back to the scripture, it was in Bethlehem that, remember Jacob, he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. His beloved wife was Rachel, the one that he worked all the years to try to get. And she died giving childbirth, going into Bethlehem. And that's where he buried her, in Bethlehem. The whole book of Ruth, you look at the book of Ruth in the scripture, it was all set around the town of Bethlehem. David, King David himself, was born in Bethlehem. The prophet Samuel came and anointed David in Bethlehem. You know, so Bethlehem is prominent, even though it's small, and the Bible tells us that the Messiah himself, the one that's going to rule Israel and rule the world, God's Son, is going to come from Bethlehem. And I'm sure probably if Mary could have thought far enough, she said, I'm in Nazareth. I thought you were supposed to be born in a Bethlehem, not knowing what was going to take place. You know? And so anyway, Mary and Joseph, the Bible tells us, well, let's back up first of all. Mary, remember I told you that she left when Elizabeth was 6 months old. She went down to visit her aunt or her cousin or relative, whatever she was. Went down to visit Elizabeth. And in, she stayed there for 3 months until John the Baptist was born. And she came back. But now, theologians believe it this way. Before she left to go down to visit her cousin or whatever she was, her relative, Joseph didn't know she was pregnant, because the Bible doesn't say he knew. Joseph didn't know she was pregnant. And we have no record in Scripture anywhere that Mary told him. And maybe there's a good reason for that. You try to explain that one. You know? But the Bible tells us, it sort of hints to us here in Matthew chapter 1, I believe it's verse 18 or 19 there somewhere. Anyway, the Bible says that Mary, when she came back into Nazareth, I mean, can you get this? The Bible says she left with haste. In other words, she just jumped. As soon as she heard that from the angels, she took off for the visitor cousin. I don't know if she told Joseph I'm gone away for 3 months or not. I mean, he probably thought, what's the big deal? Why are you leaving so fast? What happened? 3 months later, she comes back and she's showing that she's pregnant. And the Bible says Joseph started to think this through. Because the Bible says she was found with child. And the word found there is that she was discovered. It's almost like, you know, something that you just found out about it. You just heard about it. Or you just saw it. You know, is that word. She was found with child. And Joseph, being a just man, a righteous man, some translations this, started to look at this. And I'm sure there's all kinds of questions going through his mind. Why did you leave so fast? How come you came back pregnant? Did you know somebody down there? What's going on? You know, and all these things are going through his mind. And the Bible says he was thinking to himself, I've got to break off this engagement. And the Bible says he was thinking about having a divorce from Mary. While he thought on these things, the Bible says, an angel appeared to him. He said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. He said, because that which is born in her is of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, you got to understand, Joseph, he probably had all kinds of dreams. I mean, he's a young man, you know, wanting to build a house and get his family. I mean, he's a carpenter. He could build his own house and have a family and, you know, and live the dream. And now Mary comes back. She's pregnant, and I guess, you know, and you try to put yourself in that picture. What goes through a person's mind at that time? But there's one thing about it. The Bible says Joseph was a just man. And here's something we need to understand. If that happened today, in somebody's, and I mean, it's happened all the time. You know, and I'm saying if it happened today, but this kind of stuff happens all the time. And all of a sudden, somebody found out their girlfriend was pregnant, but not my baby. You know? And I guarantee you, a lot of times it's not treated as nice as Joseph treated it. I mean, this day and age, I mean, there's all kinds of resentment. There's revenge. I'll get back at you. I'll make it so hard on you as I possibly can. You know, and this is kind of. But Joseph, the Bible says, was a just man, and he didn't want to make Mary a public example. And there's a number of reasons why. Mary could have been killed. I mean, this is the law. This is the custom of the day. If he had to publicly say that this is not my baby, or whatever the case might be, she could have been stoned to death. And while he was trying to figure out which way am I going to break this off now and not hurt Mary, because he didn't want to make her a public example, the Bible says. You know, and that's another word that's only used twice. It's the same word that's used over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 6, where it talks about crucifying afresh the Son of God and putting him to an open shame. The same word is used. So Joseph didn't want to put Mary to an open shame. So what did he start to do? He started to think, how am I going to break this off? And that's when the angel showed up. And the Bible says, the angel said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Now why would he be afraid? Well, for one thing, he's probably afraid that God was going to do something, because this was against the law. You know? But he's probably afraid of his reputation as well. The Bible says he was a just man. He was the elite that everybody would look up to in that culture, because he lived all his life and tried his best to be a good man. And he had gained a certain amount of respect. And here's Mary pregnant. So I believe from Joseph we can see a lot of things there as well. The Bible says he wasn't willing to make her a public example. I believe he was a compassionate man. He was very tender-hearted towards her. He still loved her, even though he didn't understand what was going on. He still loved her. And in the meantime, he knew that he couldn't carry on with this marriage, but he didn't want to hurt Mary either. And I don't think he just blew his top and went crazy. I've seen people do that. You've seen them do that. But no, Joseph was a very gentle man and a very mature man, I think, for his age, whatever his age was. I believe he's a man of integrity. But anyway, Joseph, and I'm going to jump ahead a bit here now. Another time, remember, Joseph, the angel said to him, take Mary. He's because, remember, Herod was going to kill all the babies? And he had to go down to Egypt. I'm sure Joseph, man, here goes my business. Leave and go down to Egypt. Whatever, you know, I got houses to build. I got this to do. I got income to get in. What am I going to... Joseph never argued at all. You know, and this wasn't even his baby. So he sacrificed a lot for that baby, not understanding everything that was going to take place in the future. So you can draw a lot of parallels there and a lot of lessons from Joseph, the type of person that he was. And I believe this is what God is saying to us. There's times when, you know, they're to receive the blessing from God, sometimes there's going to be sacrifices that have to be made. There's things that we have to give up sometimes. And since the time that Joseph made that sacrifice, I mean, millions of people have sacrificed their careers, sacrificed, you know, their status in society. Some of them even sacrificed their life. You know, so Mary and Joseph, as we look at them, as we come into the Christmas season, let's not just look at a little picture up there, little children playing at Mary and Joseph, fine and dandy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But let's learn from their examples. There's a lot that they went through. And Joseph, I'm sure, there was things that he didn't understand was going to take place. And we wrap this up this morning, but, you know, maybe in our own lives, there are things that we go through. It seems like the whole world is turned upside down. Nothing is working the way that I thought it was going to work out in life. Everything is all against me. The whole world is upside down. You know, nothing seems to be the way that I planned it to be. It's one thing about it, when you give your life to God, you know, it might not turn out the way that you thought it was going to turn out. It might not be the way that you plan your life to be. You know. And I'm not trying to make it all sound bad or this morning and hard and things like that, because in the midst of all this, God brings blessings that you will never understand and never be able to comprehend this side of eternity. You know, there's things that we go through right now, and I've said this lots of times. There's things that we go through right now. We don't understand 100 years down the road should the Lord tarry. We don't know what God is going to do. Decisions that you make right now for your children, for your family. Decisions that you make right now might be something that God could use one of your descendants to be the next Billy Graham. God could use one of your descendants to, you know, do some great work for God. We don't know. But if we're only going to be grumbling and complaining about what we're going through and not seeing the bigger picture, we'll never be able to flow into the fullness of what God's got for us. So let's learn from Joseph and Mary that even though we don't understand everything, even though sometimes it's, our lives seem to be all twisted around and seems like no answers, sometimes you're disoriented and you know, not understanding it, how things all fit together. I think we need to be like Joseph, be a just person, but just spend some time waiting upon God. God will reveal to you which way you should go. He won't give you the full picture. I mean, when the angel told Gabriel, told Joseph, take the baby and the mother and go down to Egypt, Joseph didn't know if that was just an overnight stay. What am I supposed to pack up? You know, do I take a suitcase or do I take a cart? What, you know, what do I do? I mean, God only gives you one step at a time. Anybody ever understand that? God doesn't give you the full picture. He just gives you one step at a time. You got to trust him. He said, go down to Egypt. Joseph went down to Egypt. Stayed down there for a while until the king died, the one that was killing the babies. God said, okay, spoke by the angel again. Now you can go back. You know, just one step at a time. So when you're putting your trust in God, when you look at Joseph and Mary, when you see the nice pageants and stories and everything else, and you see things, let's not just make it all sound so nice and, you know, nice little story. Let's realize these are real people that made some real decisions, and we can learn from what they went through. Joseph and Mary.